Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Good morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester here with Ellen Taylor on her favorite day. Her favorite day.
Oh, hi there. No rain chance today, too, so that's also exciting.
Oh, yeah?
Golf, I like call it golf cart weather.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You and Max going to go for a little ride?
Yeah, going to the play at Theater 98 in Fairhope tonight.
Oh, that's going to be great. Nice. That's going to be great. There'll be a very tall actor.
I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, that'd be my son. Mm-hmm. Mike the Great's at the Command Center. Okay. Today, the church commemorates the dedication of the Basilica of St. Mary Major. There are four major basilicas that are in Rome. Everyone, of course, is familiar with St. Peter's. And then they may know Maria Maggiorium. And then St. John Lateran and St. Paul outside the wall. Those are the four majors. Mm-hmm. Of those, you'd think that St. Peter's would always be people's favorite. It is beautiful. It takes your breath away.
Right.
But St. Mary Major's is my favorite.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. And today we celebrate the dedication. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pardon the faults of your servants, we pray, O Lord, that we who cannot please you by our own deeds may be saved through the intercession of the mother of your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Farnell Heating and Air. You know when the air outside feels fresh and perfect. You can have that same feeling inside your home thanks to Farnell Heating and Air. Call today at 251-471-2674 or online at farnellac.com.
And here are your news headlines for Friday, August 5th, 2022. China touted its military exercises around Taiwan as proof of its ability to blockade the island in the event of war. The operations are in response to a visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and they entered their second day. Warplanes and warships carried out maneuvers off the coast. In Arizona, the votes have finally been submitted, and Kari Lake, who was endorsed by former President Donald Trump, has won the state's Republican gubernatorial primary. Lake has called for overhauling state election rules and securing Arizona's border with Mexico with the wall. Brittany Griner, an American basketball player, learned her fate in Russian court yesterday as she pleaded guilty to drug charges last month. She was convicted of drug possession and drug smuggling and sentenced to 9 years in prison. The first convoy of ships carrying Ukrainian grain sailed from the port of Odessa in a sign that last month's agreement with Russia on facilitating Ukrainian food exports is holding even as fighting continues in the country. Joe Biden tested positive for COVID again yesterday, so he'll continue to quarantine. In sports, there's really nothing. Weather looks good, no rain. And according to Uber Facts, today is International Beer Day. So that should send you off on your Friday news.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Always look forward to Friday mornings when Media Czar Tom McDonald comes on. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning, Ellen. I have to correct one thing you just said.
What?
You said in sports there was nothing, but there was a little something.
What's that?
Former McGill Toulon star quarterback and baseball player Bubba Thompson got called up to the majors, made his major league debut last night for the Texas Rangers, and got on base once with a bunt single.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That's exciting.
Did he steal second because he's so darn fast? Uh-huh.
Oh, no, seriously.
Good for him. That's a grind to go through the minor leagues. Good for him.
Yeah, he worked his way up through every level over the course of a few years, dealt with a couple of injuries, was patient, and now it's paying off. So good for Bubba. Mm-hmm.
He's like the Flash. How many stolen bases did he have, you said?
I checked the stat last night. This season for AAA, the AAA team he was playing for, I think Round Rock, he stole 49 bases in, in 52 attempts.
Wow. Oh, my.
Which is incredible.
I see, if I was the other team, I would hate when he would get on base.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I would just be like, oh, no. All right, so we saw a movie last night, Tom, right? I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem if you can't remember. We saw a Bullet Train last night, which this is a case where movie marketing works because all summer long I had seen this preview before every other movie I saw, to the point where I got so sick of it, but it was drilled into my head that I now had to see this movie because I'd seen the preview so many times.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really the last big release of the summer before we get to the late August dumping ground of bad movies, or so I thought. Mm-hmm. Perhaps this was the beginning of the dumping ground of bad movies.
Nice.
But Bullet Train stars Brad Pitt, who plays an assassin who is trying to sort of tap into some sort of inner peace and not be so violent and try to peacefully resolve things. He's, you know, he's trying to turn over a new leaf kind of while still being an assassin. But, so he has a job where he has to get on this bullet train, super high speed train in Japan, and retrieve a briefcase full of money and, then get off the train with it. Simple enough task, but as he learns that the train is full of nefarious characters who are at cross purposes with each other. And here's what's funny. Here's the official movie info description says this. It says, fate, however, may have other plans as Ladybug, which is the code name for Pitt's character, as Ladybug's latest mission puts him on a collision course with lethal adversaries from around the globe, all with connected yet conflicting objectives on the world's fastest train. Now, what's funny to me about that is this phrase, they all have connected yet conflicting objectives. And I think the reason that's the official description is because nobody can quite figure it out. and so we just know that they're all at odds with each other. And the movie tries really, really hard to explain it. In fact, that's one of the big problems with the movie is there's so much exposition and so much explanation of who's doing what for whom that at a certain point, I gave up trying to follow it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I just threw up my hands in my head and went, okay, forget
now,
it.
Now, hang
I guess.
On. If yeah. you, the media czar, right, can't follow yeah. the storyline, then yeah, us normal people, we're really in trouble, Tom.
Oh yeah, it's here's the thing. A movie like this, which people go to because let's be honest, they go to because they want to see stylized violence. That's the only reason you go to a movie like this. You don't want to waste your brain space trying to sort out the complicated, convoluted plot, and you're not there to work that hard. So
and this is the thing. You would think that the writers understand the audience. We're the audience. We're not going, wait, why is that person shooting at that person? It's like we don't really care, do we, Tom?
Right. Like if you contrast it with The Gray Man, the Netflix film that I reviewed last week.
I was just thinking that you guys complained the other way last week about the movie.
Yeah. What do you mean complain the other way?
You said it was just kind of trite in its
I thought it was great for a guy film. If you know what you're going to see.
See? Can't keep you guys happy.
Well, As I recall, I gave that film a positive review last week. And one of the things I said was that I don't think I used the word trite. I did say that the plot was pretty simple.
Okay.
And they dispensed
with
it
pretty
quickly.
Which we don't have a problem with is what we're saying, Alan.
Okay.
As guys, we know what movie we're going to see.
This is why we don't understand you guys.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
In this sort of film, like, I don't mind complicated plots if it's in a different type of film. But in this type of film, you're not going to settle in to figure out this puzzle, like a suspense thriller. Mm-hmm. You just want to see the action and hear, you know, maybe some witty witticisms. And this one, I just thought, okay, I cannot follow this. I just knew in my heart that eventually everybody was going to kill everybody and that it really wouldn't matter in the end. Why? So it, but the movie is, here's my analogy for, you know, sometimes when I review movies that I think are bad, I'll come up with some analogy. And so this is the one for this movie. If you have a hankering for, let's say, Lucky Charms, and so you go to Walmart and you look at the Lucky Charms, the name brand Lucky Charms, and you think, oh, those are a little expensive. Let me look down the aisle at the Great Value Lucky Charms. And the Great Value Lucky Charms are called Magic Treasures. So you buy those instead. And then you go home, they look like Lucky Charms. And they sort of taste like Lucky Charms, but they're just off. They're just not right. Mm-hmm. It's not the same thing you grew up with. So it leaves you unsatisfied. Mm-hmm. And so this film is like, I'm watching it thinking, this looks like a Quentin Tarantino movie. This feels and sounds like a Quentin Tarantino movie, but it's just off. It's just not there. And what I mean by that is Quentin Tarantino, whether you love him or hate his work, he has a certain style. He has a certain sensibility he brings to his films, which was very original, very unique, going back to Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction and movies like that. That where his style is very bloody, very stylized violence, a lot of dark humor, clever dialogue, movie references, things like that. But that comes out of who he is and his background kind of organically onto the screen. And it works. Whether you like it or not, it works. This movie feels like a group of studio execs sat around a table and said, you know what we need to do? We need to make a Quentin Tarantino type of movie. How do you do that? And then they said, well, you need some of this, you need some of that, you need some of this. And they glued all that together and created something that looks like somebody trying to make a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work. And this movie, there, I wanted this movie to work. There were parts of it I enjoyed. I thought it finished strong. I thought the climactic third act actually was pretty strong, but it was so weak and just a mess leading up to that, that it, I had already bailed in my mind on this movie and it was too late to save it. So it's, now content wise, it's rated R. It deserves the R rating.
Oh, it is a solid rated R. There was so much language. I had to go home and take a shower after watching this movie.
Yeah, that's the most F-bombs I've heard in a very long time in a movie. Mm-hmm. Along with the violence, there's plenty of blood and violence. I mean, it's almost cartoon-like over the top. There's one brief instance of graphic nudity. Like, it's there in a flash, and that's it.
I don't but even it's remember very, it. It's,
it you were probably so cringing.
Yeah,
it's
very fast.
It's got 54% on Rotten Tomatoes by critics, so apparently everyone agrees with you, Tom.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not terrible. Like, I've seen terrible movies. This is not a terrible movie. It's just not a good movie. Mm-hmm. And I would recommend people go ahead and skip it. Mm-hmm. Might be the kind of thing if you're into these sort of action movies, maybe once it's streaming for free on some service, you might, when you're bored, you might give it a look. That's sort of the level this movie is at.
You also made the comment last night, which I agree with you, in that Tom Cruise seems to be immortal in his Mission Impossible stuff. And even in the latest Maverick Top Gun film, the guy just doesn't age. Yet Brad Pitt, not so much, Tom, huh?
Yeah, you know, they're roughly the same age. And Cruise is still pulling it off somehow. Mm-hmm. Brad Pitt, on the other hand, the whole movie I'm looking at him thinking, wow, Brad Pitt is every moment of his 58 years old. I mean, his face has lines. He's weathered looking, but he's playing a character who he's playing him as a younger guy, it seems like to me. Like, instead of 58, his character seems more like 38 or 40. Mm-hmm. And it just, in the level of violence and action and the stunts and everything, I just wasn't buying it. I mean, Brad Pitt, he's at a point where, I mean, he's a good actor. I like Brad Pitt. I think he needs to move on to roles where he's playing his age. And I think that he would actually be more effective that way if he would do that. And this, so that was part of the disbelief for me, was seeing him in this role. Mm-hmm. I hate to say.
So, we also wanted to dive into, well, if you're done with Bullet Train.
We're done.
Oh, yeah, done with
it. We're so done with that movie.
Is what happened with the Batgirl movie and the controversy this week?
Yeah, so, boy, the poor DC extended universe that they keep trying to pull off.
We can be like Marvel. Watch us.
Uh-huh. I mean, Bullet Train ended with a big train wreck, and I feel like this is just as big of a train wreck. It, you know, they had... They had the whole mess with the Justice League movie where there was the directors, they had to bring in another director to finish it, Joss Whedon, and then that was released and it was a dud, and then Whedon gotten all kinds of trouble behind the scenes for harassment allegations. Then they released the Snyder Cut streaming, and then the Ezra Miller, the star who played the Flash in Justice League, who's supposed to star in the big upcoming Flash movie, he's been in all sorts of legal trouble doing nasty, weird, abusive stuff. So there's questions about whether we're ever going to see that movie. It's just been one thing after another. And I know I'm forgetting half a dozen, but this Batgirl movie as part of this DC universe was supposed to be released, I think, briefly in theaters, but primarily as a streaming film on HBO Max. And they finished the movie. I mean, it's in post-production. It's basically done. They spent $90 million on this movie and announced this week that they're shelving it, that it's not going to go in theaters. It's not going to stream ever anywhere. I mean, this is so rare to spend that kind of money in a movie and look at it and go, this is so bad that we can't let anyone see it under any circumstances. I mean,
wouldn't you at least send it directly to a streaming service if you don't want to try to back it up with a big media push, well, just to try to make back some of that money?
They said it would kill the franchise, is the wording that came out.
Well, what franchise? Who cares? No offense, who cares about Batgirl?
It must be pretty bad.
Well, so what they did is they showed it to test audiences, and I've actually gotten to do that once. That's an interesting experience. I was part of a test audience one time, so I sort of know that experience. Everybody, you go in, you watch it, and then they give you these questionnaires to fill out at the end of the movie, and then somebody comes out and talks to you about it, and you turn in your questionnaires, and you know. So they did this with test audiences, and apparently the test audiences reacted so badly to the movie that the word that was used was that it was, quote, irredeemable.
Wow.
And so nobody really knows for sure, but the rumors are, based on what we know about the movie and the casting, is that they've gone so woke, so to speak, with trans characters and the changing other characters, changing Batgirl's backstory to be less focused on Batman being involved, that they changed it so fundamentally that audiences reacted against that, and that it was so baked in that they couldn't, there's nothing they could duct tape together and fix, that they just had to scrap it. So I take this hopefully as a sign of hope that maybe studios are maybe recognizing that audiences aren't ready to go as far off the rails as Hollywood is. And this will start really hurting them at the box office, and maybe they'll get a little bit back on track. Hmm. One can only hope that's the reason.
Well, they have to look at the success of the Tom Cruise Maverick movie and see that was universally loved, and you could tell by the box office it did, not only here and worldwide. So they have to be looking at it and looking at their bank account saying, we should do more of that and less of this.
Yeah, I mean, the only consideration that is more powerful than a leftward agenda in Hollywood is profit, the profit motive. that will finally win out. And so maybe that's, we got to rely on good old capitalism to make them realize that we got to make what audiences want to see. And that's, so that, that's really, really an interesting thing. So, the DC universe is just, is a mess, and we'll see if they can ever get this back on track, but it's not looking good.
And they still have Wonder Woman, right?
Well, but the second Wonder Woman film was absolutely trashed by critics. After the first one did so well, the second one was a disaster. Mm-hmm. So, and then you had, I forgot about the whole Amber Heard thing. You know, she was in the Aquaman movie, and then she has the trial, the whole court case with Johnny Depp, which she lost. So the rumor is for Aquaman 2 that they have edited her character out.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that, too, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Tom McDonald, there's the music. I always love when you come on.
Thanks, Tom.
All right.
Good luck. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, mercy.
Oh, wow. It's a crazy world in Hollywood. Bob Schutz is going to join the show. He's got a book, Do You Want to Be Healed? 10-Day Scriptural Retreat with Jesus, and we're going to speak with him next on LA Catholic Morning.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Here on Archangel Radio, Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor, Mike the Great at the Command Center. On the line, we have Bob Schutz. We're looking at his latest book, Do You Want to Be Healed? A 10-Day Spiritual Retreat with Jesus, which is the follow-up to his best-selling book, Be Healed. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this book, you would think that that's an obvious answer to this question. Do you want to be healed? But as I've been going through this book, that's a more of a deeper question, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, it's the question that Jesus asked the man by the pool of Bethesda. So that was the inspiration. But I think as I wrestle with that scripture and I try to apply it to myself, it's like, where are all the resistances in me to really trusting and wanting to let go of the things that have had a hold of me and, you know, that I hold on to?
And you've been a counselor for decades. I mean, why do we hang on to this garbage in our lives? Because I do it. I was telling Ellen earlier, I white knuckle all of that woundedness in my life. Why is it so hard for us to let it go, Bob?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's beyond a simple answer. But what I would say in my own experience is we hold on to that as false security. It's like wherever we don't really trust God, we trust in these areas of our life, even if it's areas of brokenness, we trust it because we're familiar with it. And I think it's always a risk of trusting God at a deeper level to open those places up to be healed.
I think that is one of the biggest wounds in our culture today, is that people hold on to their hurts, their victimhood, and that's kind of how it's perceived in the culture. Yeah, you've kind of given us a path here with this book and asking the simple question, do you want to be healed? Because there's a lot of people that, Todd, you said you struggle with understanding, I see these wounds, I can't let go. But there's a lot of people that also want to hold on to them. And so I think it's a challenge for us from the Christian side of how do we help heal not only ourselves, our own wounds, our family, and then the greater extent, the culture.
Yeah, and I think to begin with is just an understanding that all of us have them. You know, I think the first problem is our denial that we have them. And every sin brings a wound, whether it's our own sin or the sins of those around us. And So I think as Christians, we're more suited because we have language to talk about it. You know, most of the culture then just projects it out and to everybody else, you know, just unforgiveness and judgments and bitterness. And we do that too, but we at least have an awareness that there's another way. And that other way is the way of the gospel. And it's, you know, the reason why I chose the scriptures there, because it's Jesus encounter us in the way he encounters each of the people in the Gospels in a very unique way. Mm. And that's what really brings the healing.
So walk us through, if someone were to get this book, I mean, do you have to do the 10-day scriptural retreat, like, right in a row, or what is this designed for?
No, it's just broken up into 10 different reflections, and so people can do it at their own pace in their own way. I had a woman the other day tell me that she was on one of the meditations for 3 days, but those 3 days lasted a week. And, you know, some people will do it over months, some people will do it over days, some people will do it over hours. And it's a do it at your own pace reflection.
I found in one of them that I kept going back to it. I wouldn't move on to the next day because I just felt like I wasn't done. Does that make sense, Bob?
Yep. Yeah, that's a lot of what this woman was sharing with me also. And I think that's really good. The scripture is so alive, and Jesus is present with us in the moment, in the present moment. And so, you know, why would we want to rush past it if there's more that he's showing us and more that we need in those areas?
I shared before we came on that your book earlier than this, Be Healed, is one of my wife's favorites. She keeps it on her bedstand. And I think it might even trump that one, because it's just something that you can kind of take at, just as you're talking about, at the pace that you feel called to. But isn't this an ongoing thing? I mean, most of us, when we think about healing, we think eventually we get to a point where we're done. Right, Bob?
Yeah, I think we all want to be. Mm-hmm. It's like, let me get past this area. Let me get past this pain. And there's certainly, we see in the Gospels, people healed of ailments. And there's certainly those big movements of healing. But healing's a lifelong process, because it's a part of sanctification. It's a part of our transformation in Christ. And so I think it's a good thing that healing is a lifelong process, because it's growing. It's allowing every part of us to be brought in communion with Jesus. That would be a definition that I would give. It's not just getting rid of the areas that we struggle with, but it's realizing that we're called to love and be loved in ways that we haven't even conceived of yet.
Wow.
I think, too, you make a good point. It's a process, and it doesn't happen overnight. Also, we like things done quickly. You know,
yep.
we'd like the instantaneous solution. I'd like to feel healed by the end of the week. Thank you. So I can get on with my life. And also, that's kind of the recipe for what the culture tells us. Get over it. Move on. And so that's why you have, I think, a lot of people with wounds that maybe haven't healed so much.
Yeah. And, you know, the culture really doesn't deal with our wounds as much as it deals with our symptoms. You know, we want to do everything we can to get rid of the symptoms, which just create other symptoms. And Jesus goes down to the depths. He goes down to our hearts and gets to the very roots of them, whether it's an area of shame or unforgiveness or an area of fear. And some of those things are very deeply rooted in our lives. And so he is relentless when we open to him to really free us from the places where the knots got tied in the first place.
Mm. Mm-hmm. All right, so walk us through here. Someone's listening right now, and they're like, okay, my heart's heavy. I got plenty of junk in there.
I want to be healed.
Yeah, I want to be healed. Uh-huh. So they order your book. What are the steps here towards healing, Bob?
Well, I start off in the introduction just laying out the whole process of the way the book's structured and applying the Lectio Divina process. And so we start with the scriptures that I used in Be Healed that actually formed me in writing Be Healed in my own healing process. And like the woman at the well, the man at the pool of Bethesda, the crippled man, the prodigal son story, you know, Jesus with his disciples, restoring Peter. You know, those are the themes of the Gospels. But what I invite each reader to do is to really reflectively enter into the scripture for a personal encounter, and using the process of Lectio Divina that the church talks about. And so there's a preparation of the heart, then there's a reading, and then there's a meditation that's taken from Be Healed or connected to Be Healed. And then prayer, a way of bringing it from our own hearts to God in terms of calling out to Him from the depths of our hearts. Mm. And then entering in as that person in the Scripture, as ourselves in the Scripture. And that's where the healing encounter takes place. Everything else is kind of a preparation for us to receive and then to integrate that back into our life, into our daily life in terms of action, in terms of our whole life. So each reflection around a different scripture theme is getting to different areas of our life and going deeper and deeper in the process.
And what kind of fruits have you seen, especially on your professional level, when somebody is really open to the Holy Spirit and allowing that healing to take place? What kind of fruits can people kind of expect in their lives, Bob?
I have witnessed amazing things as people do that. To give you one example that's a little bit extreme, but it shows the impact of the power of the Scripture and that encounter is in my book, Be Transformed. I talk about a man who had sexually abused his daughters.
Oh, mercy.
And the wife separated from him and really wanted to kill him, to be honest. But after her healing, she invited him into a healing process, which was just amazing that she could get to a place of forgiving him and wanting him to heal and then their daughters to heal. And it was the scripture I use in there of the woman caught in adultery. It was a lot of preparation to get here, but as we prayed with that, a little crack of light opened that it was possible that Jesus could forgive him, mm-hmm. that Jesus wasn't condemning him the way he was condemning himself. He had already gone to confession, but he was still in so much self-condemnation and self-hatred. And to watch what happened in his life as that little sliver of light came in through the gospel truth, it was the Holy Spirit just speaking to his heart. The reconciliation that happened in his family and the way that he and his wife then helped heal the daughters just was incredible. And that meditation on that scripture passage was the avenue through which the Lord was able to reach his heart when nothing else could reach him.
Man, golly,
that's really
takes my breath away.
Well, and that's really profound love and humility going through there. I think for many of our listeners, maybe that are like, well, that's traumatic. But I haven't had anything that traumatic in my life.
Praise God.
Yeah. So a lot of people, maybe they're walking around and they're anxious or they're angry all the time and they don't know why. Almost like they need to be healed of something, but they can't put an obvious name on it. It's this one big event or this there.
Yeah.
So how do people manage that?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think an understanding, that's where Be Healed comes in. And, you know, and being able to understand that behind every area where we struggle, like with anger or with lust or with fear, you know, wherever those struggles are, there's always something underlying in our hearts that are driving it. Jesus says, you know, it comes out of our mouth because it starts in our hearts. And so it's just being able to have a process to be able to take what the behaviors are and then be able to know how to pray with those areas to get down to the areas of our hearts. And everything comes back to places where we haven't been loved well, where we haven't loved well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be able to, whether those are chronic and situational things or whether they're big traumas, it all has an effect. You know, every time we get angry, we also have shame. And so how do we deal with the shame of that anger? Or every time we fall into the sin of envy, there are things related to that envy, like rejection, that are underlying that envy, you know, a feeling like we're not worthy.
Yeah.
And so it's being able to heal the deeper places of our hearts so that we can be freed of the behaviors that keep coming from that.
It's funny, as I read this book, and I don't know if I'm off base on this one, but it ironically makes me long for purgatory, if that makes sense, Bob, because I just think that there's things that need to be cleansed out of my soul so that I can prepare myself for heaven. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's really a great understanding, I think, of what the church teaches about purgatory. It's a process of healing so that we can be fully loved and to love fully.
Yeah.
And I think if we have that perspective in this life, it motivates us more to to do that work, because it is, there's work in it. You know, there's facing things that we want to avoid sometimes.
When I read the title of your book, it reminded me that my spiritual director many, many years ago, he said, "Don't answer this question right away when I ask it."
Yeah.
And, okay.
Yeah,
and he
always
said,
the worst.
But he said, "Do you want to be holy?"
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my initial reaction was, "Of course I do."
Yeah.
And he said, "You got to understand what it means." And I think the title of your book, it's the same thing, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Okay, and they go together, you know, because to be healed and to become holy really go together. But yeah, we want to answer them too quickly, but we don't stop and say, okay, what is all the resistance in me to really wanting to be healed?
Mm-hmm. Mercy.
Well, the book is by Ave Maria Press. It's called Do You Want to Be Healed? Bob Schutz is the author. And go get it.
Oh, it's fantastic,
comes
y'all.
With a high Todd recommendation.
High, 5 stars.
Thanks for joining the show.
Incredible, Bob. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you both. Really appreciate it.
Okay.
God bless you.
Have a good day.
Whew.
Oh.
Yeah, I do. I do want to be healed, and
you
I know that it's going to be a lifelong process, and I know it's hard, but I do.
I
want to get on the other end.
Sunday Gospel Reflection coming up, final segment Friday with Father Andrew Jones. Stay with us.
By the bay, if home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Rock Angel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Greats at the Command Center.
Love that music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the final Friday segment, this is Ellen's favorite because it's the Sunday Gospel Reflection.
Yeah, kind of sets us for the weekend, I
Indeed.
Think.
Indeed. Father Andrew Jones, pastor of City of St. Jude in Montgomery. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah. All right, 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time.
Yeah, that's right. And we've got a long one for the 19th Sunday. Or actually, there's an option. So it depends on what your priest is feeling, if you're going to get long or short.
Okay.
Right. How are you feeling today? Uh-huh. That's the question.
Uh-huh. I think, you know, I'm always more Bible than less. That's usually the way I go.
Okay. I'm with you. With you.
Go
right ahead.
So the Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, and an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." Sorry, my dog Olive is trying to make it impossible for me to read this.
And doing a fine job of it.
Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for an hour you do not expect the Son of Man will come. Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master, on arrival, finds doing so. Truly, I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, it's like, you know, when I was reading through this earlier, it just sort of seemed to me this is, you know, there's a lot in this gospel passage, right? So there's, you know, who knows what your priest is going to preach on, because there's a lot of different things going on. It seems though that it starts out, the very beginning of the gospel passage starts out almost as a continuation of last weekend, right? Sell what you have, give everything that you have to the poor, and give alms, right? So that sounds very similar to last week. So you have that going, right? This renunciation of riches, and store up your treasure in heaven, where the thief can't steal it and where the moth and the rust can't destroy it. Where are your priorities, right? Is it accumulating stuff in your closet and in your garage, or is it accumulating things in heaven? So that's the first question. But then it switches to this more, I guess you could say, like, to use maybe like a million-dollar word for the day, eschatological look, which just means, you know, the second coming, the end of the world. You know, when the master is going to come back, and you don't know when it's going to be. And so, we don't know how much time we have left. Nobody really knows. I mean, it could be tomorrow. It could be today. It could be 30 minutes from now. It could be 30 years from now. I don't know. But we do know that the master is coming back. And so for those of us who have been entrusted with much, it would behoove us to act accordingly, right? And so he's saying, you know, if you have a house, and I told you that, you know, hey, your house is going to, somebody's going to try to break into your house tonight at 1 a.m. You probably would spend the rest of today preparing for that. And so if you would be that concerned about your house, which, you know, is not going to last forever, why wouldn't you be concerned about your soul, which will last forever? And that's the question, right? So you could ask, okay, well, let's say that I am concerned about my soul. So what does that look like? Well, part of what that looks like, Jesus says, is, you know, selling what you have and giving alms. So what does that mean? Well, beyond the literal, like, okay, does that mean that, you know, everyone who heard this morning needs to go sell all their stuff and, like, give all of it to the poor? I don't think so. I don't think that's what it means. I've had this argument with some friends of mine recently about, you know, to be a Christian, does that mean that, like, what level of poverty is expected of me? You know, it seems to me that you have, well, the example of the saints, right? You have everybody from St. Francis of Assisi, who took this so literally that he gave literally everything, including all the clothes that he was wearing. But then you also have other saints that did not, and all of them are in heaven, right? So it's like, okay, see, I mean, you have, you know, Saint, Henry II a couple of weeks ago, who is the Holy Roman Emperor, right? I mean, he's living in a castle. And you have Saint Francis of Assisi, who doesn't have anything to his name, and both of them are in heaven. So what does that mean for us, right? So I think the closest, or the most satisfactory thing, saint that I've ever found on this, to me, is Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who's the founder of the Jesuits, who writes in his rule, in the spiritual exercises, that we should be indifferent to all created things. And basically what he means is, my attachments should be things that, anything that helps me in my salvation, helps me love God, reverence God, praise God, serve God, and love my neighbor. Those are the things that are the priorities in my life. And if I'm going to have any sort of attachments to anything, it's that. Everything else on the face of the earth, all created things, all creatures, all material goods, prestige, honors, all those things, sickness, health, is only, I should only use it insofar as it helps me to get to heaven and helps the people around me get to heaven. That's it, right? And so in that sense, I'm attached to the things that last forever, and the things that don't last forever, I can use them if they help me go to heaven. And if they don't help me go to heaven, then I'll get rid of them. And that's the litmus test, right? So, you know, okay. I think, you know, one of my friends said, okay, well, that's all fine, but like, what's to stop somebody from saying like, oh, well, you know, these five Land Rovers of mine helped me get to heaven. I was like, well, what, you know, and I said, you know, as it was a good point, but I think what stops you is, like, would anyone really say that? You know, I mean, like at a certain point, if you're really honest with yourself, right? I think you take that to prayer and like, is the Lord Jesus going to be like, yes, my son, my will for you was five Land Rovers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, right. I think you have to, like, if you're being honest with yourself and with God, there's some things that he'll entrust you with that you need. And I think there's going to be some things that you find in your life that maybe you just don't really need them. Or maybe they're not useful for you anymore, you know, or maybe they're hindering you. And not that they're even bad things, and it's not like Land Rovers are evil, you know? But if my goal is heaven and I only want to keep the things around me that help me to become a saint, maybe I don't need five of them, you know? I mean, that's the thing. So I think what we're hearing then this weekend and the readings, the theme of the readings is, you know, you're smart. Most people are smart about their earthly stuff. They're smart about their investments. They're smart about guarding their house so it doesn't get broken into. They spend a lot of money on Ring doorbells and all this kind of stuff. How smart are you about the state of your soul and the things that are going to last forever? And maybe get your priorities straight. And that's the question for us this weekend, I think.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Although it shakes me to the core, though, the last line. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. Mm-hmm. Because I have been severely blessed in my life, Father Andrew. So that kind of shakes me up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and I think, again, like, you know, there is an edge. You know, you don't want to take the edge away. I mean, there's a sharp edge to what Jesus is saying, right? But I think, you know, then maybe like behind that sharp edge is like, okay, like you've been entrusted with a lot, so don't screw it up. I mean, the other side of that is you've been entrusted with a lot because God loves you, right? And that's mm-hmm. the balance, right? It's like, so there's the love there that I think, is necessary too. So we're just like, oh, okay, like God's just waiting for me to like mess up with all the stuff that he gave me. He's like, well, no, he gave it to you because he loves you. He really does. And so there's grace there, right, to do what you ought. So he doesn't leave us hanging, in other words. Like, he's not like, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of stuff and just wait for you to mess it up.
It seems like, you know, there's Father, there's a lot of examples in this gospel of just circling back to say the same thing of keep your eyes on heaven. All this stuff mm-hmm. around here, don't get distracted by it. And he goes through many examples and parables and stuff like that to keep reminding us of that, a point again and again. Don't be distracted by the unimportant things. Keep your eyes on heaven.
Yeah, it's almost as if humans have a problem with that, right?
Yeah. Slightly.
You know, yeah, and, you know, and that's what I would say. Again, that's what I love about St. Ignatius. St. Ignatius, like, he's like, look, you know, God created all this stuff. And if you remember in Genesis, every time he creates something, he says it's good. Like he likes it. That's the reason that it exists, is because it's good, you know? And so if we could learn to see it the way that he does and appreciate its beauty, but, you know, not be attached to it and start thinking that it's God, then we, you know, it would be better for us.
Amen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Father Andrew. May we have your blessing before you go.
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You're looking forward to that first football game,
yes,
huh?
We will see Father Andrew Jones.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Yeah, I look forward to that.
We're going to get to see the whole Montgomery side of, you know, the ones that never come down to here,
well,
to the Mobile
it's
area.
It's a long drive.
But Father Andrew can come down and see friends.
We'll show you around. We'll show you around the gump up here.
Okay. Give
you a tour.
Nice. Thanks, Father Andrew. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
You too.
We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Ike's Parasail, locations in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, and Perdido Key. Ike's Parasail is a water sport rental and recreation company serving Alabama and the Florida Gulf Coast. To make your vacation a thrilling and unforgettable experience, call 251-981-0055. Ike's Parasail, come fly away. Who's coming up on Monday, Mike?
Yes, on Monday, Ron Jelinek talks Musk's Marketplace and Man. Tom Hoops shares how St. Alphonsus can help if you've been hurt by the church. And Brad Miner discusses his article, The Saint, the Book, and the Lily.
Awesome. Sounds fantastic.
Wow. Got big weekend plans?
No.
Okay, you know, good.
I don't. I got to repair my lawnmower, but
of course.
That's just norm, par for the course.
Yeah.
Praying for good weather. Enjoy the play.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, so let me know.
I'll give you a report on Monday.
Sounds good.
It'll be fun.
That sounds
so
good.
So Fairhopean, going to the theater in my golf cart.
It is. I love it. I love it. We hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. Let's be the light unto the world, the salt of the earth, because the world needs us. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.